You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 24th, 2020, it is officially underway, the Republican National Convention. President Trump scheduled to speak every night already. Vice President Pence has addressed the delegates that are gathered in Charlotte. 336 maximum number they were allowed to bring in for the morning meeting. And then they will conduct later a nighttime roll call in which Trump and Pence will be officially nominated. Speakers today include Senator Tim Scott, also Congressman Jim Jordan, former Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley, and others. But it's now officially underway. And, of course, on the same day, you have some Republicans stepping forward, led by Congressman Jeff Flake. You know how sometimes people are named from the past of their history? I should see Senator, not Congressman, former Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona. You might be named Carpenter or Baker because that's what your family did and that's how you just got your name. Well, I just wonder if that... never mind. Anyway, he gathered a bunch of Republicans, two dozen of them with him, to launch a Republicans for Biden campaign. All right, good luck with that. In the meantime, the U.S. Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, again denying claims by Democrats that he's been doing anything to impact any mail-in voting for November's election. Speaking once again, this time to House Oversight Committee hearing today. Republicans, of course, criticizing Democrats for holding this hearing 2 days after the House Democrats passed a $25 billion bill to provide emergency funding to the Postal Service, rather than dealing with the riots in the street. Oh, if you're wondering what could possibly happen next with this election and this whole 2020, an asteroid is headed for Earth. It could, they say, go right past us, hopefully past us, November 2nd, one day before the U.S. presidential election. It's only 6.5 feet in diameter, not considered to be potentially dangerous, but they're monitoring it. It might go sweeping right past us the day before the election. In Wisconsin, the investigation underway, two officers on leave. A black man shot repeatedly in the back as he entered the driver's side door of an SUV. He did survive the shooting. At last report, he's in critical condition. It did lead to rioting inside the area around Kenosha, Wisconsin. The man apparently told repeatedly by police, stop, freeze, and he continued to walk around the car and then tried to get in the car and either leaning forward for something under the seat and or while an officer is trying to grab his shirt, and then they opened fire. Yes, it's going to be worthy of a full inquiry and investigation, obviously. By the way, in Chicago, over the weekend, in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Chicago, 60 were shot, 5 fatally, and didn't involve police at all, just the violence in Chicago. Take note of this and tell me what this means to you. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention dropped the other day is recommendation for any travelers to have to quarantine for 14 days if you return from a trip overseas or out of state. CDC says you don't need to quarantine for 14 more days. Now, are they signaling that we're past COVID at this point? In the meantime, the NFL has 77 positive COVID-19 tests from 11 teams being re-examined by New Jersey lab because they were apparently false positives. Tested again, they all came back negative. Has to make you wonder how many tests are accurate, right? In the meantime, Michigan Governor Whitmer, apparently the lone Midwestern governor, holding up the start of the Big Ten football season. Ohio is all in favor of going forward to the season, but Michigan Governor Whitmer says, no, we're not going to do it. And you know the fires, of course, hitting a large part of California. They evacuated areas around the Santa Cruz Mountains, Northern California. Now we've got looters going in, and in some cases they found evidence of looters going to the home of a firefighter stealing his wallet and getting information and draining his bank account over the weekend while he's out there trying to save homes and people from fire. And here's a story from Twilight Zone, but it's real. A 20-year-old woman, paramedics arrive, she's not breathing. They try to resuscitate her, they can't. She's pronounced dead. After 30 minutes, they pronounce her dead. She's shipped to the morgue. Medical examiner's office contacted, and again, they determine she's expired. So now that's been released, her body released to the funeral home. And at the funeral home, they found she was still breathing. Before they put her in the casket, they realized the woman is still breathing. No word on her condition lately, but again, that's right out of the Twilight Zone.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before. I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
But over the last week, the Democrats held the darkest and angriest and gloomiest convention in American history. They spent 4 straight days attacking America as racist and a horrible country that must be redeemed. Joe Biden grimly declared a season of American darkness. And yet, look at what we've accomplished. Until the plague came in, look at what we've accomplished. And now we're doing it again.
Those are remarks that President Trump made the other night to a group of Republican supporters. Obviously, they love him. You heard the applause. That was Friday at a gathering for the leading Republican donors and setting the stage for what you can expect with the GOP convention this week. And contrasting to what we saw at the Democrat convention last week. We're going to be joined later this hour by Dr. Gerard Lamero and get his take on how the Democrats did last week and what they were trying to accomplish, and that there does not seem to be any post-election bump. Normally, a political convention, that party sees a bump after the convention because they get a lot of attention, a lot of play, a lot of folks paying attention. And, of course, this time it's different with the COVID. We got more virtual stuff than live and not the mass gathering of people. The energy just seems to be lacking. Republicans are going to have to deal with the same thing. They do have something like 330 delegates altogether in Charlotte at that one area, so they can include them as well. And apparently there are going to be a lot of live events as opposed to taped events, according to the president. And earlier this morning, Vice President Pence addressed everyone. But there's already a clear... Here's something that I will point out to you right now that is dramatically different than what we got from the DNC. The official meeting of the Republican National Convention delegates began this morning with the Pledge of Allegiance, emphasizing the words, under God. Remember the other day when I read the pledge as stated by a leader for the Democrats? They did not include under God. Just left it out. Not a mistake. Intentional. And apparently some have taken a look at all four major broadcasts each night. At no point did they ever use the words and phrase under God. There are Democrats who believe in God. They are people of faith. They are Christian, or they might be Catholic or Jewish that are Democrats. They certainly believe in God, but not according to the Democrat National Convention. Just don't put God's name into it. President Trump tweeting, and he's absolutely right here. He said, two Democrat caucus meetings removed under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. It sounded not only strange, but terrible. That's where they're coming from. And that's true. But again, as I say, someone did a review of all four major broadcasts each night, and you never heard the word God. In other words, to their own people of their own party who are people of faith, God doesn't exist here. Trump is aiming for a complete convention change. He's obviously going to be pushing a patriotic program. For the most part, the Democrats were attacking America, racist, a horrible country, beyond redemption. And Joe Biden talking about the great darkness and Trump basically being the prince of darkness and he will be the prince of light. That's pretty much what they were trying to sell. Well, Dr. Lamero will give us his take on that and also what he expects to come out of the Republican convention will be of any value as well. You have to understand, and I pointed this out last week, you could mock the Democrat convention and look kind of stale and boring if you bothered to watch. But again, the COVID-19, all the restrictions and the virtual presentations, that obviously is affecting the engagement that normally an audience at home would have with the event, especially if they're not in tune with that party anyway. You know, I'm remembering watching the speech by Biden the other night, and then he walks down the hallway with his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, holding hands. They're both wearing their black mask, just the two of them walking. They're surrounded by security guards. They have their mask on. And they walk outside and watch fireworks. They're standing outside watching fireworks, and they're both still standing there wearing their mask. And they're joined by Kamala Harris, the VP nominee, and her husband, and they're also wearing their mask. I think that's totally unnecessary if you're outside. But again, Joe Biden has said, if I'm president, one of the first things we're going to do is we are going to deal with this virus because he says Trump hasn't done things right. And he has said if we had worn masks from the very beginning, we would be better off. And so I'm going to mandate by executive order, everyone wears a mask wherever you are. I don't care if you're out on your tractor plowing the field. I don't care if you're in your boat sitting in the middle of the lake fishing. I don't care if you're at home and you haven't been out for a week or better and you're just sitting there knitting or watching TV or playing video poker, whatever. You have to wear a mask. Well, obviously that's not going to go over. But that's what COVID is going to occupy a lot of our time and attention and concern for the voters as well. And, of course, the economy and what's happened for those who have suffered in the midst of this. It's also going to come down to street violence. Violence in the streets. I'm talking about gangs and thugs running rampant, but also the rioting taking place. And what we have is Democrat blue cities and blue state governors not doing anything to really protect their people. They're just basically standing aside and letting the thugs and the rioters take over. And they did not mention that at one time in their convention the other night. They didn't mention under God, and they certainly won't have mentioned anything about the rioting in the street. Tom Holman, retired acting director of Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement, said right now the Democrats in some of these cities have handcuffed their police.
The politicians, the Democratic politician, whether it's the mayor or governor, have handcuffed the police. If you let the police do the job they're trained to do, if they enact zero tolerance, you step out of line, you break the law, you go to jail. And you got to also have the prosecutor prosecute them. That prosecutor over there is not prosecuting low-level crimes. So if you let the police officers actually do their job, they can end this stuff, but that's not happening because you got a mayor that don't let them do their job, you got a governor don't think there's a problem, and you got a prosecutor that refuses to prosecute.
He's absolutely right. And in fact, the other day, and I praised her for it at the time, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and I pointed out in news and commentary, another weekend of violence, 60-plus shootings, 5 dead, but referenced the looting that took place on the Magnificent Mile. She was incensed, saying there's no excuse for this kind of action. Nothing justifies it. We're going to have police look at the tape and the video we have of our high-definition cameras. We're going to round you up. And then she challenged the prosecutor to do her job and actively prosecute them. But she still wears the Democrat label, so there's only so far she can go with that. And in Portland, Oregon, the prosecutor is basically not charging anybody arrested with any of the violence, the anarchy, the arsons, and so forth in Portland. Unless it actually leads to death, they're just going to kind of let it go. This has been an attitude that's been growing for some years now among the left. And that is, we're not really big on law and order unless it involves our home, our safety. And we saw that. We saw that with the Seattle mayor, who had no problem with all the troubles the Chaz Chop group caused for the business owners and those who lived in downtown Seattle. It was all fine. We'll just have a summer of love until they marched on her home and upset with her. Then she got upset. Now, my safety. And then in Oakland, the mayor of Oakland didn't want to fully defund police like the activists did, so they turned on her home. And they did it the other night, as we pointed out, in Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. And she has increased police protection around her home, saying, I deserve from my home to be secure and safe. That is what every American deserves, not because you're an elected politician or you're a member of the elite Hollywood group. Everybody deserves that. I don't care if you're living in the worst urban area surrounded by gangs and thugs and drug dealers and you're just afraid to even be near a window. You and your children, your family, you deserve security. But it gets back to this attitude that we've just been kind of doing what we can to appeal to get votes from the Democrats anyway. That's been their attitude. What can we do to get more votes? And that is, well, for one thing, let's welcome all illegal aliens. And again, the words of Tom Holman, retired acting director of Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement, says you are getting what you paid for.
This is a failure of the Democrat Party, Democrat governors, and Democrat mayors. And it's not a coincidence every one of these cities started out as a sanctuary city that walked away from immigration enforcement years ago. So it really wasn't about immigration, was it, Steve? It's about walking away from law enforcement. So this ought to be front and center. This is a winning message for this president because he's a law and order president, unlike Joe Biden.
Unlike Joe Biden. I pointed out to you earlier that in Portland, almost 36 Portland officers overnight had to be pulled from their assignment and added to the force trying to stop another riot. 72 nights, I think it is. 72 straight nights of rioting in Portland. And as a result, 80 911 calls. Issues ranging from shots being fired to missing persons. The police just could not respond. And of course, don't forget, some of these folks have even talked about taking police away from 911 calls. Let's let trained healthcare officials handle 911 calls. Then they'll decide if really police are needed. I told you a moment ago about police responding to one 911 call in the state of Maryland, and officers were ambushed when they arrived. And yet they think we don't need as many police and we can absolutely turn over protection to social service workers, if you have a friend or family member who's in social services, you better tell them you need to get out of that. It's going to be more dangerous than being a cop with a badge on your chest. And Rudy Giuliani, who did a great job of cleaning up New York City and made it a much safer. Now watch what's happened now with the de Blasio and the other Dems running his city and his state. But he also says, look at what we're going to see for America. He said, here's a very clear warning. If you want to know the difference between a Biden America and a Trump America, all you have to do is look at what Biden has said. Rudy Giuliani.
If you want to take a look at Joe Biden's America, take a look at Portland last night where they had a riot. Take a look at the woman who punches the other woman in church yesterday. Take a look at the 51 shootings in New York and the four murders. That is all happening on the Democrat mayors who actually now do nothing about it.
They do nothing about it. That woman being punched in church, that was in a Philadelphia church. A woman just finished reading, got punched as she walked off the altar. Still not clear why that happened. But it took place during a mass, all caught on Facebook Live at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul at the time. This convention will be talking about law and order. And this convention will include the word God and under God when we're talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. And again, that should tell you a lot about what you expect from the Democrats if they get control again. One other issue, mail-in voting, coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So some of you are suffering out there because of the COVID, and you're waiting for another stimulus package to come through, and the Democrats have a $3 trillion bill they're trying to shove down our throats. Republicans had a $1 trillion and said, we'll come together. We need to come together for the American people, and nothing was happening. So President Trump signed an executive order, at least releasing $400 a month for families, $400 a week, I should say. But you know what? The Democrats, Pelosi, would not call her Democrats back to vote on relief for the American people. She did bring them back for a special event over the weekend dealing with the Postmaster General and complaints and allegations that he's trying to stop mail-in balloting. Yeah. And, of course, denying the fact that the more mail-in ballots we have, the more likelihood you have a fraud. Does that mean every mail-in ballot is going to be fraudulent? No. But, of course, we also have fraud happening even at the polling places. I'll get to that in a moment. But let's go first to Maxine Waters, Democrat, California. And she says Trump is afraid to have mail-in ballots.
Was he afraid of this to the point where he's willing to basically, you know, have a scorched earth policy to dismantle the postal services in order to win? That's what it's all about. He believes that with this mail-in voting that he will not succeed. He will not be reelected. And so he is prepared to do whatever it takes. But the president of the United States to disregard all of that and move in quickly without any hearings, without any anything. I just think it's unbelievable. I still am shocked at the idea that the president could do this.
Yeah, the whole idea is shocking that the president's trying to disenfranchise you. And, of course, making the claim about post boxes being removed from corners and streets and locking them up. First of all, the boxes were removed during the Obama administration as well. And the locking up has to do with something in 2016 around Burbank where boxes were locked because thieves were breaking into the mailboxes trying to steal checks if they could find them. But let me give you a more recent example of fraud through absentee balloting mail-in. Wayne County, Michigan leaders, Wayne County, Michigan, need the Secretary of State to intervene. They say there's chaos while trying to count absentee ballots on primary election night. recorded bailout counts in 72% of Detroit's absentee voting precincts didn't match the number of ballots cast. Why's that? Well, because somebody is lying and making up numbers. Supposedly, at least 46% of all precinct numbers were askew. And according to state law, the precincts cannot be counted where poll books, that is the list of registered voters in that precinct, aren't matched with the ballots. One of those involved in watching over this on the Wayne County Board of Canvassers was being told it is so inaccurate, we can't even begin to make it right. In other words, we don't know who's supposed to be voting and who's not. The numbers are all out of whack. But we know it's not right. We don't know how to correct it. Trump doesn't worry about mail-in ballots if they're done legally, but they're not, and we know they're not, and the more opportunity they get to do and harvest ballots and send them in, they will. They will. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. You'll want to hear the latest from Dr. Gerard Lomero. His take on the Democrat convention, did they make any points? Or did they gain anything? And the Republican convention starting officially earlier today. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, we're glad to have back on board because he always brings a lot of wealth of information for us on some of his past predictions, which obviously came true based on Trump winning the election when many did not think he could. Dr. Gerard Lomero called it in January of 2016, months before Trump was even the Republican banner carrier. And then, of course, he's been doing the same thing looking ahead for this election. And Dr. Lomero, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Oh, it's great to be with you. This is my 118th time on your program.
Oh, my gosh. Did we send you a big gift of flowers and candy or something? I mean, I should have.
Oh, no, that's fine. You don't have to do that.
I appreciate you documenting it. I knew it had been numerous times. Well, the reason we have is because the audience loves hearing you and some of your remarks. Now, let's begin with, first of all, as you had pointed out some time ago, when the Democrats decided to set their convention, when they moved it and then set it, they put it immediately the week before the Republican convention, which starts today. And as you said, normally there would be a week between so you could gauge a bump, see if the Democrats got any bump. Well, they're right on top of each other, but did they get any kind of bump from that convention they just concluded?
Probably a very slight bump, maybe a half a percent. And that it's normal to get a bump. I mean, that's just the way it is. When you have a whole week of, you know, pushing one person over another, it helps. But on the other hand, it usually fades quickly, and it definitely fades when there's a convention on the other side. So whatever little bump there has been is going to be gone.
Well, how effective was it? The Republicans had to deal with the same thing. How effective was it to even get an audience engaged if you have all of this virtual and you can't really get the crowds and everything else that's going on?
Well, actually, it's much more difficult to do it. it's almost like teaching third graders on Zoom. You know, yeah. Anybody who tries to do that tells me that it's very difficult. Little kids don't listen that attentively to a teacher on a computer screen. And it's the same thing here. The voters were not listening that closely to the actual convention.
And yet when they were listening, what did they hear that might excite them about Biden? He finally made his choice. You've got a black woman on the ticket. And I said she didn't sign on just to be VP, but right now that's the way she's going down in history at this point.
Well, 98% of the message was negative. They don't like Trump, and we know that now. It's clear.
You didn't have any doubt about it, huh?
No, and the other 2% was that Joe Biden can do anything. And, of course, the response right away in the minds of anybody listening who's objective would say, okay, you had 8 years with Barack Obama next to you. Why didn't the two of you solve all these problems you're now suddenly going to solve? It's not very believable. I was the one who wrote 10 laws for winning presidential elections, and this convention violates one of those 10 laws, which is providing an optimistic vision for the country that's concrete, that people can really wrap their arms around and get excited about. This convention didn't generate much excitement. I think it's going to go down as a dud.
Well, and the other point being is that they obviously believe that being a negative and pointing out how bad Trump is and attacking everything as opposed to offering any solutions, any concrete optimism, they thought would be a winning play.
It really isn't. For example, saying we're going to tax you $4 trillion more, that never sells well. You tell people we're going to raise your taxes, you lose people. And this convention did that, plus it ignored what's really on the minds of a lot of people, that is that the fact that their streets are no longer safe. Remember the DNA that I wrote about in my book from 2016, Great News for America, was Americans are looking for morality in government. They're looking for their freedom, all of them, including the right to keep and bear arms. And they're looking for peace at home, peace abroad, and they're looking for prosperity. Right now, they're not getting peace at home. They're not getting prosperity at home either. Those are the real issues on their minds and hearts. And it's sending a lot of people toward Trump.
Well, to that point, I mentioned to the audience during the progress of last week and again today, they absolutely did not discuss the rioting in the streets and all the mayhem and the chaos, and yet it was happening in Portland every night that they were doing their thing. Rioters were in the streets of Portland burning, torching, throwing, attacking police.
Right. This is something that's unheard of in America, to have widespread rioting that goes on indefinitely. I mean, that's gone on for, what, around 80 nights or something in Portland?
I think it's 72 or more than that, maybe. I might be off the number.
Yeah, it's on the order of 80, I think.
Okay, yeah, 82.
Depending on when you started counting.
Yeah.
But at any rate, no. And not only that, it's so strange, but a lot of the different places around the country, you take a look at Denver, for example, the blue state governors are not cleaning up the messes. They're not restoring the neighborhoods. They're letting them decay and rot, you know, literally. And people know it. They're aware of it. And a lot of people are saying, I can't call the police. They won't come and see me when I need help. Things like that are really upsetting to people, and it makes them vote differently. And no matter what the TV commercials say, they know in their hearts their pocketbook and whether or not they feel safe.
Well, to that extent, before you join us, I ran a clip from Rudy Giuliani appearing this morning on Fox and Friends. He said, if you want to take a look at Joe Biden's America, take a look at Portland.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they enabled it. They allowed it. They haven't pushed back on it. They pushed back on President Trump, who wants to restore law and order and wants to protect the federal property there and wants to protect citizens, too. And you know what? People don't like that. This is turning people off on the Democrats. They don't seem to know that they've not only opted for policies that are radical and socialist, but this whole idea of supporting Black Lives Matter, which is a known Marxist organization whose goal is to destroy this country and change its system of government from a constitutional republic to a socialist or communist country, it just isn't going to go all across with the American people. And it's not. This is going to be a historic election, because what we're seeing are people are going to vote for the first time ever. And what they're saying to us is, we want to save this country. We don't think the Democratic Party is trying to save it. They're trying to change it.
Bronco,
worst state.
Barack Obama is quoted as saying, Joe Biden's goals, not that different from Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's pretty much saying he's in step with Bernie.
Well, that's what Bernie said at the convention.
Yeah, yeah.
Bernie said basically he won, and Joe Biden is implementing his policies. So he doesn't even have to take the trouble to run for office. He's got somebody who's taking his entire plan and going with it.
So
the Green New Deal that AOC will be in charge of under Biden, that's a $94 trillion nightmare that's going to make us look like Venezuela. It'll destroy this economy if it's ever put into effect.
So let's go through. You and I discussed last week, after Kamala Harris was selected, what value she brings to the ticket. He's already got California, so that's not going to help him. But the idea of being women and black votes. Now, in 2016, Hillary got 89% of the African-American vote. Trump got 8%. You have predicted numbers way off the chart this time around.
Well, right now, if you look at objective polling on approval, some polls are better than others. The more objective ones give Trump roughly 50% of black vote approval.
50%, sir?
50, between 48 and 52%, so I call that 50. And those are the kind of numbers that are coming in. Of that, my current forecast model has stayed about the same. It's forecasting 42% of blacks voting for Trump. If he gets 42%, Joe Biden doesn't even need to finish his campaign. He's not going to win.
I'm thinking, you had to clarify this for me, but I'm thinking even if he got 20%, that would destroy the Democrat Party.
Trump got 8% of the black vote in 2016, and he won easily.
Right.
With 20, 30, 40% that we're looking at. I mean, we had one legitimate poll that said 35% recently, and my forecast model says 42. The approval ratings are even higher, which means that's the ceiling, you know, the approval rating.
All right.
And so we're talking a major shift in the political dynamics in this country, and the identity group politics of the Democrats they followed for decades is breaking apart as we see it.
And the aside from the African-American, the Hispanic vote, Clinton got 66% last time, Trump 28%. And a lot of folks thought, well, because he made remarks supposedly against the brown menace and against illegal immigration, that he would lose, he wouldn't get anywhere near those numbers, and yet he continues to accelerate with that number.
Well, they like prosperity. They like the way this country was run for 3 years until the Democrats shut it down and are trying to keep it shut down. In fact, even Biden is saying he's going to shut it down again.
Yeah.
And that. So, no, they like prosperity. They like peace. They're not happy with the law and order issues. And he's picking up support in the Hispanic community as well.
Well, in the last 30 seconds, how do you think the Republican convention is going to play out over the next four nights?
I think it's going to be upbeat and positive. I have a feeling they will knowingly or unknowingly use my 10 laws for winning presidential elections, because the winners use it.
All right. Well, Dr. Lamero, we will have you back next Monday to review the Republican convention. How about that?
I think that's wonderful. I'll look forward to it.
You bet. Thank you very much, Dr. Gerard Lamero. And always glad to have him on board. His latest book out, by the way, The Real World Socialism. It's a great primer to have nearby as you argue with friends about the difference of socialism, as we see many trying to push us in that direction. Dr. Gerard Lamero. When we come back, we'll talk about how Biden says he's going to be the Prince of Lightness, and yet his party is still dark. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here and now, I give you my word. If you entrust me with the presidency, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I'll be an ally of the light, not the darkness. It's time for us, for we the people, to come together.
So said Joe Biden last week, wrapping up his Democrat convention, accepting his party's nomination. He wants to end the divisiveness. He says, I can bring us together. Well, let's look at something they did, see how this brought people together, at least brought the party closer to a group maybe they originally shunned, and probably still do, but they're trying to walk both sides of this field. You recall the other day that radical left-wing activist Linda Sarsour, leader of the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions Movement, singling out Israel for isolation, former leader of the anti-Trump Women's March, she's been against Jewish women in general and all Jews. She's called for a jihad against President Donald Trump. Well, she was, of course, part of the Democrat convention last week. And then the Biden team put out a word saying, we don't really align with that. We believe and support the Jews and the Jewish community and Israel, that historically Biden has done that. But, then there was apparently a private call to Sarsour on a call with a Muslim community activist in which the campaign advisor for Biden said, look, I'm sorry about the pain that might have caused by disavowing you. I'm sorry it happened. I hope whatever trust was broken. This conversation is a small step to help build back the trust. This would not be our last time we have this conversation. Biden foreign policy advisor had also offered an apology. And again, this is someone who has shown anti-Semitic attitudes, and they denounced it during the convention, but now they're back in the back room saying, oh, we're with you. Do you see Biden making that better and joining us together like that? How about this? How about liberal journalist Jemele Hill, which tweeted out the other day that America is just as bad as Nazi Germany? Even some Democrats had a problem with that. Former Democrat New York Assemblyman Dove Hyken said, reminder for Jemele Hill about just a few of the differences between America and Nazi Germany. In other words, making it clear, that's way off base. You cannot compare the U.S. to Nazi Germany. But of course, Hill, who's now a writer for The Atlantic, has called Trump a white supremacist back in 2017 when she was an ESPN host. Is that going to be bringing us back together, people like that in the party? And then how about this attack on Melania Trump? You know what Melania Trump has been working on? One of the things she's taken on is to make the White House Rose Garden, make it look better, improve it. And here came a former New York Times reporter, Kurt Eichenwald, slamming her, saying, I'm furious that she did this. She's a foreigner. He said, this is the first time I've been so upset. Plus, she's a foreigner. She's wrecking our history. Wrecking your history? What she was doing was restoring the Rose Garden. Of course, it's seen right outside the White House, often seen for some of the events they have. And she thought it needed more upcare and taken care of because it had been kind of dismissed, and yet it's used a lot. So she decided to make it look better. And here comes this Eichenwald, two decades as a senior writer at the New York Times, saying here she is wrecking the Rose Garden, pulling up our history dating back a lifetime. These trashy, evil, stupid people need to get out of our house. These were talking about her and Donald Trump, of course. Even, again, some on the left had a problem with those remarks and said, Kurt, this is a horrible anti-immigrant take. You should delete it and apologize. Even CNN anchor Jake Tapper wrote, this is xenophobic and wrong. It's bigotry. But Eichenwald continued. He said, someone who's only been a citizen for less than a third of her life should be reverent to America's history, honor our history, not decide her personal taste should rip it up. Does he say the same thing about all those who want all the Confederate statues and names removed and wiped out Does he say anything about them? That's really ripping up history, not simply redoing the Rose Garden to look a little bit better, planting new bushes, moving some around. That's a far cry from what's been done with the restored Rose Garden. It's again, the left has no balance. But I find it interesting that even some members of the left, even a Jake Tapper, would call out this guy and say, your remarks are xenophobic and you are bigoted. Now, I'm going to give Tapper remarks for that. I'm going to give him some high marks for that, for calling out somebody on his side who's been xenophobic and racist and bigoted. I don't know how long it will last, but let him have a little praise for me occasionally. In that case, he deserves it. That case. Tomorrow? Tomorrow, we'll see. I thank you for joining us. I certainly do. I appreciate you spreading the word to your friends and family that we're on the air. You guys are building this program by leaps and bounds, and I do appreciate it. We'll continue to do the very best job we can for you because I thank you for your trust, your loyalty to this program. Tomorrow, book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.